you believe. Assault is an act, not an adjective. Your safety is not just on the gun, it is the gun. Freedom is a fundamental human right. Welcome to your show, Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes. What do you believe? Your safety is your responsibility, not the government's, not anybody else's. Be a citizen, not a subject. Better yet, be a listener, because it's an inalienable right, not a privilege. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is live right now. Call 1-800-313-9443.
Welcome to the show, everybody. Today happens to be April 29th, 2009. Welcome to the show. We're going to get right into it. One of the most embarrassing parts of history, and that of the United States, begins with Richard Nixon, Watergate, and his resignation. It culminates with the even more multiple embarrassing act of having Jimmy Carter as president. I think all that Jimmy Carter really taught America was that we can actually run for a four-year stretch without any real true leadership, as well as giving away interests, national assets, and defensive interests, such as the Panama Canal. Jimmy Carter has proven himself, it's more so when he got out of office even than when he was in, about how socialist he truly is, even coming out so far as to literally admit it, you know, going and hobnobbing with Castro and such. He decided to chime in on the gun issue. Now, let me read this to you. I'd like you to actually put your seatbelts on in any office chair, or if you're sitting in your den, certainly if you're in your car. I want you to put your seatbelts on because you're going to be ready to jump the hell out of it once you hear this. Here's a quote. "But none of us," he's referring to the former presidents. He spoke about himself, Reagan, Bush 1, Clinton. "None of us wants to own an assault weapon because we have no desire to kill policemen or go to a school or workplace to see how many victims we can accumulate before we finally shoot, before we are finally shot or take our own lives. That's why the White House and Congress must not give up on trying to reinstate a ban on assault weapons, even if it may be politically difficult." Did you get that, folks? Essentially, what Jimmy Carter is asserting is if you own an assault rifle, as assault weapon, as he would say, assault weapon, I don't even think this guy could, I don't know that any of these anti-gunners can uniformly describe an assault weapon. It's an anti-gunner's word. We talked about it before. For us, it's a counter-assault rifle. He's asserting anybody that owns essentially a semi-automatic rifle that will hold, you know, 20 or 30 rounds in the magazine, those guns are only used to kill police officers and shoot up schools and workplaces, and people only own them so that they can do those things. So I own an AR-15. According to Jimmy Carter, the only reason I own an AR-15 is so that I can kill policemen or go to a school or workplace and see how many victims I can accumulate, in his words. Here's another quote of his. "Instead, the NRA is defending criminals' access to assault weapons and use of ammunition that can penetrate protective clothing worn by police officers on duty." Another hugely, unbelievably, remarkably ignorant and completely stupid statement from the dumbest man to ever walk into the White House. And I got to tell you, there's probably been some ultra stupid people to go in there, but the dumbest one to ever reside there. You've got to be kidding me. You can take your seatbelts off now and run around during the break. We'll be back.
Right to listen and take action shall not be infringed. 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is back. 1-800-313-9443. Uncle Sam's
out here to shoot me. Okay, so we are talking about something here. I believe it was the absolute arrogantly stupid Jimmy Carter. This is the same guy who, by the way, we can thank for North Korea being a threat to the rest of the civilized world with nuclear weapons. Jimmy Carter, in his presidency, gave a few hundred million dollars to North Korea and told them, as long as you don't use this to build nuclear weapons. So what did they use the money for? Exactly that. So Jimmy Carter armed North Korea with nuclear weapons. He gave the Panama Canal back to Panama, which is actually under Chinese control. So the Chinese, I got to tell you, the Chinese are ready to rule the world. If they would, and a very good friend of mine, a guy by the name of Mike Lee. Mike is an American man of Chinese descent. And he does business across the globe. Very, very bright guy and a hell of a nice guy. And he and I were having a discussion. I was down in Florida visiting him just a few weeks ago, 2-3 weeks back. And we had this discussion about, you know, who's going to take over the world. And Mike had a very good insight. He said, you know, if the Chinese would get past one small piece of arrogance, they would rule the world. And that arrogance is this. There's a couple billion of them that speak Cantonese. So they believe the rest of the world should speak Cantonese. He said, since business in this world is done in English, if they were to change their way of thinking and start with the generation now to teach everyone English in their schools, as happens in a lot of other countries, such as in Germany, there's 8 years of English. In Russia, you have to learn to speak one of a couple different languages. One of them is English, resoundingly so. Most people take that. He says, if the Chinese were to do that, within a couple of generations, simply by doing that, they would rule the world, considering all of their industrial might and how they've really come about in this country. They could easily send 200 or 300 or 400 or 500 million Chinese into battle and lose them and still have another couple hundred million to send, followed by a third wave. So, in fact, the Chinese could rule the world if they learned English. Anyhow, back on the scumbag idiot Jimmy Carter. This guy is under the belief that because we own semi-automatic high-capacity rifles, that those guns are used solely for committing murder, unadulterated, unconscionable murder. It's the only use for these guns. All right. I want to play you just a little bit of a couple of pieces. All right, listen to this.
The Centers for Disease Control recently completed a review of studies of various types of gun control, waiting periods, registration and licensing, and bans on certain firearms. It could not document that these rules have reduced violent crime. How can this be? Signing the Brady Bill into law didn't help?
Don't tell me this bill will not make a difference. That is not true.
Sorry, the government can't say it has made a difference. One reason is that the bad guys tend to ignore gun laws.
When I had a gun, I didn't care what laws they had.
I'm not worrying about the government saying that I can't carry a gun. I'm going to carry a gun anyway.
These maximum security felons in New Jersey scoff at measures like the Brady Law.
I'm not going in the store to buy no gun, so I could care less if they had a background check or not.
I bought it from the street, from a source. There's guns everywhere. If you got money, you get a gun.
A study funded by the Department of Justice confirmed what these prisoners said. Most criminals buy their guns illegally and easily. And get this, the study said the felons say the thing they fear most is not the police, not time in prison, but you, another American who might be armed.
When you're going to rob somebody you don't know, it makes it harder because you don't know what to expect out of them.
It's a reason many states are passing gun uncontrol. They're allowing citizens to carry guns with them. It's called concealed carry or right to carry. And it comforts women like Laura Jones.
It's a safety thing. I feel better knowing I have a way to protect myself.
Okay, and then later on in this, Al Sharpton chimes in. Another guy who's unbelievably stupid. I mean, just take the level of things that come out of a person's mouth over time, especially those things that are said in front of someone with a microphone, because that's really when you're supposed to shine. When I get off the air, I actually say some rather stupid things, so I don't want a microphone there. When I sit here in front of the show, I want to say something that's, you know, relatively intelligent because there's the microphone in front of me. You get what I'm saying? Everybody would be that way. So here's something that comes out of Al Sharpton's filth hole that he would have you believe. Listen to this.
Many people are horrified at the idea of right to carry laws.
That is frightening. Can you imagine just walking up and down the street knowing that 90% of the people you pass has a deadly weapon and you could be their next target? I think that we'd be living in a state of terror.
Okay, we're going to continue on with more thoughts. However, I got to tell you, the other thing that absolutely blows me away is the lack of proper grammar coming forth, spewing forth out of Al Sharpton's mouth. Can't even speak an intelligent sentence with proper grammar. It's unreal to me. This was a one-time candidate for president. Can you believe that? That Mr. Behind-the-scenes prompting up of Tawana Brawley running for president and speaking in this unintelligible, grammatically horrendous form. Okay, carrying on.
But surprise, 36 states already have right to carry laws. And people in these states are not living in terror. We called state safety officials in all these states, and not one reported an upsurge in crime. Why? Well, maybe because guns are used twice or three times as often for defensive uses as they are to commit crimes.
Imagine that. Righteous, law-abiding Americans use guns 2 to 3 times more often than bad guys use them to commit crimes. Well, that's a pretty good percentage. Would you agree? I mean, if you could invest in an investment and you get 2 to 3 times your money back on a regular basis, would that not be the investment? It's not a percentage, a small percentage. It's 200 to 300% return. 200 to 300% return on good guys using guns defensively than bad guys using them offensively. But yet, here's Jimmy Carter telling him that the only reason to own what he would call an assault weapon would be to go out and kill police or shoot up a school or a workplace until you get shot or take your own life, right? Can you imagine? This guy actually used to be president of the United States. When the people behind the curtain, the kingmakers, decided after the whole thing with Richard Nixon and then Ford coming in, they wanted to just have some boob stand up and be president for a while. So they supported Jimmy Carter, and a boob they got. My goodness. I think this guy fell down and clunked his head on a regular basis to get as stupid as he really is. I would hate to get into a battle of wits with Jimmy Carter because it would be going into a battle with an unarmed person. It's almost like you just want to ignore him and kind of smile and pat him on his head like you would someone affected with a debilitating disease. Only his is a debilitating mental condition. Just kind of want to smile, pat him on the head, and go about your business. Because at 80, what is he, 4 years old now? Yeah, he probably doesn't have much time left to make himself look too much more foolish. So he's going to use what time he's got to really solidify what a complete idiotic moron he really is. It baffles me. I can imagine that at the Jimmy Carter Presidential Library, after he dies, I mean, the guy's old, he's going to eventually die. First of all, it's going to be a much better use of the Secret Service agents who are assigned to protect him. Once he's gone, they can actually go do something of value. When this guy dies and you end up with the Jimmy Carter Library, as you have a library in the hometown area of every president after they pass away, I'm sure this is going to be filled with things like coloring books and word searches and, you know, probably crossword puzzles for nobody above, you know, like second or third grade. It's probably going to be very colorful. Maybe you have some people dancing around in some clown outfits with lots of very, very heavy makeup. You know, Bozo and the boys will probably drop by every now and again, honking their horns, riding their really huge bicycles with a, you know, like the 6-foot front tire on it. I'm sure that that's going to be kind of the mantra of the Jimmy Carter Library. You'll probably have books written on things like the Communist Manifesto and, you know, books on the Third Reich. Probably some of the notes that Hitler had written down. Certainly some of the favorite literary classics of Fidel Castro and how he ultimately was able to hose the U.S. into getting him into power over Bautista and then ultimately taking control of that country and being the longest-serving dictator in modern history when he finally gave up control to his brother a year or two ago. There's probably going to be very lovely art sketches of you know, maybe Mao Zedong or potentially, I don't know, maybe his Italian favorites. You know, you got the little Mussolini things going on and such. I would imagine that's the way the Jimmy Carter Library is going to be. It's probably going to be paved when you walk up. It's going to be like a yellow brick road. Yeah, you're probably going to have the scarecrow, but instead of a pitchfork, he's going to be holding a sign that says no guns allowed. You'll probably have certainly the cowardly lion. That'll be kind of with a Jimmy Carter face over the front of it. Certainly the brainless tin man, he's going to be there. You know that the brainless guy is going to be there. And he, too, will have a Jimmy Carter face. They'll probably have another character that just speaks rampantly, but actually never says anything of any consequence at all. Just basically fills up your time with nonsensical rambling nothings. And that'll be the Jimmy Carter Library. Stick around. We'll be back in 3 minutes.
Irresponsible people have no business owning a gun or listening to this show. Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes. 1-800-313-9443.
All right, guys, welcome back from the break. We have JR in California calling to chime in. JR, welcome to 2A Radio.
Yeah, hi, Bill. Really enjoyed your little scenario, the Jimmy Carter, excuse me. I was just drinking coffee, and you caught me at a bad time here.
You know what, I love to do that to my friends. Are you going to take your Legos and building blocks and join in the fun?
Well, actually, what I was thinking is we could improve it. What we need is a simulated ride of the Panama Canal where we'd have Chi-Com soldiers escorting people in, served with complimentary Billy beer.
Oh, you know what? It's kind of funny. I have a six-pack of Billy beer somewhere in a box.
I wonder if it's still good.
Oh, you know what? I'm sure it wasn't very good to be good. Just so you guys that understand, Jimmy Carter's brother, Billy Carter, was reputed as a drunk, so he capitalized on that whole thing and came out back in the late 70s with what was known as Billy beer. And my uncle actually gave me a six-pack of that, sitting around getting disgusting. Okay, well, so go ahead. Were you calling just about the library thing?
No, that was about it, but I really do enjoy your program, and just wanted to chime in a little bit and just make a suggestion for improvements in it. But the other thing is it's really important what you talk about, and listening to your program repeatedly makes me realize just how woefully inept I would be in a confrontational manager or situation. I don't think I'd be able to manage something like that. And so I like what you said, that if you don't really know what you're doing, don't carry one.
Well, you're right. Here's the thing. It's all about mindset. It's not so much physical ability. It truly is mindset. It's where your brain is on this. Can you, in an instant, if you're able to recognize a threat to life or serious bodily injury that's coming imminently, are you able to make that assertion and then actually act and not freeze up? And if you act, are you willing to do what it takes to win? Because realize, this guy's coming prepared and has you off guard. If you're mentally prepared to do that, then training comes into play. And you don't have to be mentally prepared to do that and have a gun. You could be mentally prepared to do that, JR, and you could have a broom handle. But if you're mentally prepared, as long as you're dedicated, okay, there is absolutely no way this SOB is coming to get one over on me. He's going down. That's really the mental preparation.
There's a lot of people that have that mental mindset, but at the same time, I think what I'm trying to stress is the idea that people really do need to be trained. They need to know what they don't know.
You absolutely better believe it, especially when it comes to guns, because one gun owner, as you realize, it's said on 2A radio all the time, one gun owner, one person with a gun that does something incorrect or there's some tragedy, say a missed shot and an innocent person gets hit, that does nothing but drop us down. Any 10 wins that we got, that one small instance will drop us down 10 wins with one loss.
Keep up the good work, and I'll continue to listen. One of these times, I would like to try to get over there at Front Sight, because I just see that this is something that's really important for everybody.
And when it comes to being in California, Front Sight's relatively close, so good job. Thanks. I appreciate the call, JR.
Thank you, Bill.
All right. So carrying on here, we have news out of Arkansas. All right. This guy, the University of Arkansas, puts out what's called the Ernie Dean Award. And they present that annually to an Arkansas journalist, as it were, awarded this year to this absolute insufferable hack, Max Brantley, who happens to be the editor, columnist, and blogger at the Arkansas Times. This is the guy. Now, in Arkansas, this is the guy that actually prompted new legislation, because the information on concealed weapons holders was public information. You could go and look for it. If you knew the right sources, went through the loops and the hurdles, you could find it. So this jackass went and did that and published it. So everybody in the entire state of Arkansas that had an Arkansas concealed weapons permit, their name and address he published. Included in that list were people that had restraining orders against others, and the court blocked their address, but the CCW made it available, so they put these people in jeopardy. There were actually undercover, like rather deep undercover, law enforcement officers who didn't want to come across as having a badge, so that information was kept only by the people who put them deep undercover. Then they went so far as if they had a gun, they actually had a CCW for it. Now their personal addresses were listed, putting them in jeopardy. I mean, there was hundreds of cases of this. And this jackass that gets this award for some sort of journalism actually got this. So you can thank whoever at the University of Arkansas would do something like that. Now, keep in mind, Arkansas is the same state that gave us Bill Clinton. Thank you very much for contributing to the discussion of today when it comes to Jimmy Carter, and then we roll it up into the guy that actually had no morals or principles whatsoever in Bill Clinton. How this guy stayed in as president with his smiling face eludes me, other than the thought that maybe, you know, people voted for him because they thought he was a handsome, charismatic fella. But, man, absolutely morally bankrupt. Morally, ethically bankrupt in Bill Clinton. However, he was a bit of a compliment for the bookend of stupidity coming out of Washington with Jimmy Carter. Nicely done. What a bunch of buttheads. Okay, with that being said, stick around through the break. We've got more to come.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Rule one, assume it's loaded. Rule two, don't point it at anything you're not willing to destroy. Rule three, listen to the 2A radio show with Bill Carnes.
1-800-313-9443.
This is a new bumper. So angry, so ripped up, so stepped on. You're not the
Radio with Bill Carnes, 1-800-313-9443.
That's a new bumper I've been working on. Tell me what you think about that one, because I got to tell you, it's a mental riot going on in me every single day as I sit here in front of this microphone speaking the good word to you fine people. This coming out of the ignorant, just I shouldn't say ignorant. It's not ignorant. It's stupid. Ignorance, by definition, is simply somebody not knowing something. Stupidity, on the other hand, is something somebody's just plain, well, stupid. So ignorance can be overcome through training. Stupidity, you can't fix that. Okay, you can fix ignorance. Stupid's permanent. All right. So here's some stupidity. Contra Costa County, California, the quadruple C, can now claim a leadership position of duteous repute as they are the first to admit that shrinking budgets translate into less resources available to prosecute criminal offenders. Okay? In March 17, 2009, presentation before a county board of supervisors over proposed budget cut, District Attorney Robert Cockley, K-O-C-H-L-Y, I believe that would be pronounced Cockley, I believe, told the Board of Supervisors that the recommended budget would allow for only core misdemeanors to be prosecuted, and stated that 45% of misdemeanors that would normally be prosecuted would no longer be reviewed or filed. Okay? The local ABC affiliate expanded upon the announcement and included citizen reactions. All right. So the ABC 7 obtained a memo by Cockley sent to police chiefs detailing exactly which misdemeanors will go unprosecuted. They include drug possession, assault, battery, burglary, shoplifting, forgery, embezzlement, vandalism, and trespassing. Okay. Now, let's back up a little bit, because although they include those things in this memo, I don't exactly believe all of them. Assault can be a misdemeanor. That's generally, by the way, most laws are written, certainly in the state of Nevada is. Assault is the unsuccessful attempt to batter someone. Battery is a successful attempt to make physical contact on someone. So there are misdemeanor batteries. Okay, so there are obviously misdemeanor assaults. There's also felony assault and felony battery. So evidently these are the misdemeanor kind. Burglary. Well, burglary is a felony. Shoplifting is not. So burglary, I don't know. Forgery is always a felony. So I don't know how that could be considered a misdemeanor unless California laws are just that screwed up. Embezzlement, that would be up to a certain percentage. Vandalism and trespassing, like spray painting and such. So it's going to be an absolute heyday for anybody that wants to possess a certain amount of drugs, commit misdemeanor assault or battery, and basically go around beating people up. You can get away with that. Burglary, shoplifting, forgery, embezzlement, vandalism, and trespassing. All right? Some worry if prosecutors don't follow through, members of the public might decide to administer their own punishment. Well, imagine that. We actually have these people that are mandated to protect the public will, not necessarily us individually, but they're here for law and order. And if they are actually going to go off the public payroll and do nothing because someone decided to spend that money on something else, like some sort of social service for the people committing these crimes, right? People will start feeling vulnerable, just the good citizens, and you might start to see retaliation of that. People might start taking the law into their own hands, said Oakley resident Musa Yassin. It sounds Muslim. But if they're going to go out and commit these crimes, these guys are talking about, well, it's not really vigilantism. It's taking the law into their own hands because the police department won't do anything about it. Or rather, not so much the police department. Well, let me back up. The people just above that prosecute in the district attorney's office, they are not going to prosecute. They'll do what's called NCF, no charges filed. They'll NCF the case. Guys go in, they'll grab these guys, they'll arrest them, they'll go on the record that they had an arrest. They'll get released generally through an OR. Own recognizance, or if they post bail, they're going to get it back because they'll be NCF'd the next business morning. Contra Costa may be just the first county to reduce misdemeanor prosecutions. Cockley said he's heard of several counterparts in other Bay Area counties who are considering making the same move to save money. to save money. Right? How about that? Now, there are laws on the California books, criminal laws, that don't necessarily need to be prosecuted. But yet they're going after ones that actually have something to do with a certain amount of crime. Okay? Drug possession. Let's do this. It's the whole 80-20 rule. So we're just going to stick with the 80-20 rule. It seems to come up in life constantly. 80% of all crime is committed by 20% of the criminals. All right? The other 80% of the criminals commit only 20% of the crime. Those usually are the part-time guys, not the guys that are truly committed to a life of crime, just the people who like to moonlight doing crime. So the truly committed, the guys that will go, they'll clock in. All right, today's, I'm clocking in, it's my shift. Yeah. They might take a day off and, you know, go, you know, smoke a bowl or something. They might just take the day off and you know, shoot up all day long with a couple of their other criminal buddies. And, you know, there's a little bit of reprieve out there. That's good. You know, die of a drug overdose, something, that's fine. But 80% of all crime that's committed is committed to support drug or alcohol-related activity. Okay? Most people that go out and have a decent-paying job, they generally have, you know, a reasonable mode of transportation, a reasonable place to live, if not good in both of those, at least reasonable. And they're working hard, you know, and they stay focused and do good things. They're generally not taking the money that they make. They're generally not living in a box, riding a bicycle, and then doing good things and, you know, using the dry cleaner and showing up with some good white-collar-related clothing or blue-collar-related stuff if they're working on an assembly line or something, and then going out and being absolute mayhem drug addicts the rest of the time. And then they clean up before they go to work, and they're focused on their job. Then they leave, and they just go blow their mind out, you know, with, you know, an eight ball a blow in a weekend. They just aren't doing that. The people that are doing that are generally them or someone on their behalf committing crime to support that habit. So if they're not going to, I guess, prosecute for drug possession, some of these other things, a burglary, shoplifting, embezzlement, things like that, for the people who are generally the ones who are in the 80% of all crime being committed crowd, then we're really in Costa Cosa, whatever the heck it is, Contra Costa County, California. That's basically, if you want to commit crimes, go there because you're okay. You can go there and terrorize the citizens. And I want to see, as kind of a test bed in Contra Costa County, California. Keep in mind, that's in the Bay Area, generally more affluent area. I don't know about this county. Anybody who's out there listening, Ed, you're out there. If you know about this county, call me up. Let me know what this is. I know Ed is listening, so I'm calling you out, Ed Winchester, 800-313-9443. Call me right now. Let me know what the demographic is in Contra Costa County, California. Ed called up about the whole AB 357 thing, which would have turned California into a shall issue as opposed to the mother may I sort of may issue that it is now, which died in committee, unfortunately. Anyhow, I want to know what the demographic is up in this area of California, because this would be a really good testbed to find out. If we stop prosecuting people who are arrested for these crimes because we can't afford to do it, well, what does that say? That says, well, you know, I might have gone in and done a home invasion, which is a felony, which they'll prosecute me on. But if I drop that back and I just do some shoplifting-related stuff, you know, that's a lot. I'm not going to get prosecuted. I can get away with that. I might go to jail. I might get arrested a few times. But who cares? I'm a criminal, right? I don't care if I have an arrest record. I'm a criminal. I'm a career criminal. That's what I'm going to do. So with that being said, I'm very interested to find out how this goes in the next 2 or 3 or 4 years. See how Contra Costa County, California is going to shore this thing up. Right? I'm sure there's probably no CCWs in that county. I would imagine. Up in the Bay Area, you're just not going to get that happening. If they're going to stop prosecuting on certain crimes, then there's certainly a very left-wing liberal approach to this, because any conservative group would end other excess liberal spending, right? And once that excess liberal spending has been fixed, from there they would you know, look at other things rather than not prosecuting criminals. Okay, so it's going to be very interesting to find out where that is. If anybody from that area, I'm delaying until Ed or someone else calls and tells me about this part of the state of California and see what's going on. So if Ed doesn't call, I'm going to thump him with a brick. I know he's been all over the state of California, he's lived there basically his whole life, and he's got to know something. This guy just knows what's going on. All right, Ed, you're killing the show, and I'm blaming you. All right, moving on. We've got more information here. In Wisconsin, we have had this deal in Milwaukee where the cops are just going to take down anybody that's legally carrying an exposed handgun on them. Then they're going to decide if you have the right to do that, okay, which is totally against countless laws and provisions of the Constitution and the amendments therein. They're absolutely, they're killing me with this. So I read an editorial on this, comparing this to other things, and I thought, you know, I've got a couple of comparisons as well. Here's one of the comparisons. You're, you know, walking down the street. You know, let's say that you get off the bus and you're walking down the street, and a cop stops you and says, hey, hold on. I'm going to cite you for jaywalking. Well, I haven't crossed the street, officer. I haven't jaywalked. You know what? It doesn't matter. You're bound to jaywalk eventually. So I'm going to cite you for it right now. Okay? Some of the public might say, okay, well, go ahead. No big deal. Most of us would say, I'm sorry. I haven't committed any crime. You're inferring that I may without any information, simply because I have legs that work and a mind to be able to make my decisions. You're inferring that I'm going to use that to jaywalk, right? So, no, that's wrong. So because someone's carrying a gun, they're inferring that that's for criminal activity. So they're going to take your butts down on the streets of Milwaukee, right? That's what they're inferring, that you're going to do, that they're going to do that. So this is absolutely ridiculous in my mind that anything like this would be tolerated. Okay. And it's chalked up to civil obedience. If you try to look up the term civil obedience, there isn't one. There is for civil disobedience, but there is none for civil obedience. That would be the person who says, yeah, go ahead and cite me for jaywalking. Or someone who is, getting into their car, and a cop stops him and says, you know, hold up. I'm going to cite you for speeding and failure to stop at a stop sign. Well, I haven't even started my car. Why would you do that? Well, because something tells me that you have the ability to do that. You're going to be in a car, and chances are possible that you may speed and run a stop sign. As a matter of fact, I'm going to get you for failure to properly signal for a lane change as well. How about that? So they're going to write up all this stuff and expect you to sign it. That's the same idea of somebody peaceably and lawfully carrying a gun, and they take them down, put them into cuffs, take their gun away from them, treat them like a criminal, take all their information, put it into some sort of database, and then decide whether or not they're going to give you your gun back. To decide, they're going to make the decision whether or not you have the right to do what you're doing. Can you imagine? That is absolutely ludicrous to me that they would do this sort of thing. By the way, Ed, I have a brick with your name on it. Okay, I know you're listening. So, in Milwaukee, what you've got now are, you've got the governor. And the governor is actually looking at potentially changing the law. There's a state preemption law to where nobody can actually preempt the state law at a county or city level when it comes to firearms. So they can't pass more restrictive laws, which is good. A lot of states have that. And that's just sense of so that people can move around the state and not have to worry about, you know, where this law changes and that law changes. Do I have to do this? Do I have to do that? You know, if I step across the street, whose jurisdiction am I in? You know, it gets rid of that. It's sensible. As states are allowed to have their own laws, that's good. But to allow counties and cities, municipalities on things such as firearms, it's difficult to do. It's not a good thing when it should be a statewide provision, especially when it's a right. Okay, you shouldn't be legislating rights at county and municipal levels. It just should not be going on, right? So with that being said, I want to, what's going on in Wyoming? Pardon me, I'm going through a couple different things on my computer desktop here over some of this information. What's happening in Wisconsin is the governor, who's very anti-gun, he was the attorney general back in the day, I think it was in 95 when they passed the state firearms preemption law, would now like to repeal that through new legislation and allow cities and counties such as Milwaukee to pass their own legislation banning guns. Because, you know, the cops are going to be taking you down anyhow and then asking questions later. So we may as well allow that activity to then therefore be legal. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Because the chief of police and the sheriff in the city of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County have decided that they're going to take law-abiding citizens who are armed down and then decide what's going on, which is completely illegal and morally bankrupt of them as well. All right? Because that's what's going on, the governor of that state wants to change the law to make it to where that's okay for them to do, because currently it's illegal, and they face both civil and criminal penalties for that. So the governor he wants to allow the cops and the heads of these law enforcement organizations, the chief of police and the sheriff of Milwaukee City and County, he wants to allow them and their orders to their troops to take people down to still be legal. So he wants to change the law to allow that. It's unfathomable to me why a recall petition for that governor hasn't already been started, because it needs to. All right? Let's start a riot. And we're talking about an intellectual riot. Get this guy out of office. We'll be back.
Gun control, loved by dictators since 1917. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is back. 1-800-313-9443.
Ed from California, you're on the line.
Good morning, Bill. How are you?
You're the man I was calling. What's with the delay, yo?
It's paperwork I was working on.
Okay, I got you. All right, so tell me about Contra Costa County, California. Tell me what kind of demographics they got going so we can kind of hopefully judge what may happen here.
Well, Contra Costa County actually starts kind of in the East Bay, but up north of Oakland, and then goes over to the east from there. It actually encompasses cities like Richmond, which is Richmond has a very – how to not talk badly about their town. They have a very active criminal –
It's Dirtbagville. Spit it, Ed. It's Dirtbagville. Carry on.
They have a lot of, ports and docks, just like everybody on the East Bay does. But there are some affluent areas. Basically, it's one of those areas that you live in and then you drive into the Bay Area. So very common. You and I have a special friend that works for Uncle Sam that lives in...
I know who you're talking about. Okay, gotcha. So then this particular Uncle Sam-related friend's not going to be involved in this because...
She carries a badge.
Yeah, well, she carries actual federal paperwork, so that's a good deal. So it sounds like they're kind of a sleepy bedroom community away from the Bay, but yet they, or at least they have those in that county, but yet they also have kind of their other side of the tracks, if you will, kind of an area within that county as well. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's industrial, but it's also nearly impossible to get a CCW in Contra Costa County.
Oh, come on, Ed. It's the Bay Area. It's almost impossible to get anything other than a speeding ticket there, I would imagine.
Well, they issued, as of 2006, I think, 399 permits, and... Those go to friends of friends. You know, you gotta be somebody to get one of those.
Are you talking like about maybe a couple of U.S. senators?
No, I think her hometown takes care of her.
Imagine that. All right, Ed, I appreciate it. So now what? Thanks for the call, man. I really appreciate it. Thanks for taking time out of your morning. By the way, Ed Winchester is probably my very best friend in the world. Just a great guy. It sounds like this is going to be an interesting testbed because we have both different sides of the story here. A nice, affluent, sleepy bedroom area of Contra Costa County. And then you also have what sounds like kind of the other side of the tracks, if you will, a little bit more criminal enterprise sort of thing going on. So it'll be interesting to see what goes on with this. If they stop spending money on so much left-wing socialist-related, I guess, throw-the-money-down-the-toilet sort of finance on other dumb things rather than prosecuting people who break the law, maybe they'd actually get somewhere with this. But otherwise, until they take their eye and put it on the proper ball, they're probably just going to be sinking a little bit further each and every time. I would like to leave you today with this thought. Thank you, by the way, everyone, for writing in. Remember to keep sending your emails on what your lines in the sand are. I'd like to close by saying, to those of you within our government, we will be watching you in Congress, the executive, and judicial branches all very closely as we organize to save our freedom, liberty, and country. We will not become the subjects of governmental rule.
Bill will be here tomorrow. Will your freedoms? The Two-Way Radio Show, 7 a.m. Pacific, 9 Central, Monday through Friday.